Good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and you found yourself in the ABD.
Once again.
Once again, you've found yourself in the American Book of the Dead.
Or the equivalent thereof.
By E.J. Gold. So just think of that for a second. That's where you found yourself. Suddenly, you're there. Here you are. Like, how did that all happen? Like, everything was going on. I mean, the universe was just unfolding in a certain way. You know, this happened. Night came. There was day. Then there was night. And more. And again. And then, boom, here you are. Okay? I mean, there's not a lot more to say about that than that. It's just, that's all there is. And so now that you know you found yourself there, you just have to deal with it, right? Hmm? Harry, are you the only one on the phone?
Apparently so. No one else is talking to me, except Ivan, whom I appreciate.
Well, thank you, Harry. We still love you.
We're all projections of your own consciousness.
Yeah.
That is exactly right, but I keep hoping for something better.
I don't know if it's a projection. I don't know if I'd say it's a projection of his. This is as good as it gets, Harry. And you're paying for it, too.
I know.
No, we have your sense of humor.
No, we're so glad that Harry has a sense of humor. Because otherwise we'd be boring for everyone.
How did I wind up here, right now? A little while ago, I was just fish in a fish tank, and then suddenly...
Here we are.
Happy to be just a fish in a fish tank. And then there's you.
Then there's me. That's right. And so all of that is a long way around saying here we are together once again. We've made it to this environment. It's okay. It's an okay thing. And we all come kind of like a slightly different, enrobed in a different way.
Please let me share.
Ah, so finally. I mean, I had a whole thing planned when I was under the illusion that it was your birthday.
At the organization of my consciousness interacting with the concept of 65 years around the sun, I got the invitation to attend a Writing Your Way Home workshop with Regina Sarah Ryan, friend of mine from Mr. Lee Loswick's community.
Oh, Regina.
Regina.
Yeah.
Regina's 6'5", my age or older.
Wow.
The editor of Home Press, the former Catholic nun, fantastic writer on her own. She is quiet, still, on the inside, and exuberant, enthusiastic, and effervescent on the outside at the same time. And the workshop called Writing Your Way Home has to do with pilgrimage to the inside. So talking about here we are.
That's right, baby.
Here we are. And in her orientation of pilgrimage, which, you know, come on, I've got like multiple degrees and it never, ever, ever crossed my consciousness before that pilgrimage is always going home. That's what it means.
It is.
Pilgrimage with company is the theme because pilgrims travel in good company. So here we are in good company on our pilgrimage.
Now, as this class progressed tonight, we only have 1 hour, even though that's local time. As this particular event progresses, you're going to say, you and Pat planned this, didn't you? And I've just met her, okay? We just met for the first time. It was the whole thing behind the cameras and all of that. And we didn't plan what is about to unfold, but there couldn't have been a better introduction to it than Regina and you and Nancy Burns gave us to it. But I've got to point out something first, though, is that you'll notice that I'm wearing a watch now.
Oh.
Okay.
I wish we could zoom. Well, I will zoom,
well,
and you all can see through my eyes. You can see through my eyes.
Yeah, and the whole, I'd ask Cristal down in Ricardo's group.
Mm-hmm.
She said she was doing these dream catchers, and I said that I needed a watch. So she made a watch for me.
Wow.
And at least now I'm able to keep time.
Yes.
I haven't worn a watch for probably 45 years. So I don't know if anybody had a chance. Is Kay on? Is she Laura something? 33, 334? Something. 666
maybe.
Sorry, we haven't got your number right, lady, but we know your tune.
We know you're out there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so this whole thing about reading to each other, and you know, I read this chamber. What chamber are we on again tonight?
28. We were in 27 last week.
28,
yeah,
everybody
we're in
28. Thinks. It's on 28. Okay, well, we'll just go with it. What the heck?
We're in 27.
Doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah.
So I'm starting to read the thing. I thought, well, these are getting a lot easier now. Less to explain, kind of like, you know, the guy, the Voyager's there. He's in the down spiral, the rebirth. What's there to say, right? No big deal. Till I really read this particular thing. And I had the thought of, and this is I'm going to address to you and Jana too, and you flip back to the chamber number 10. What did I say in the email? Do you remember? Is it 10 and 11? Nobody read the email, but I wrote it. So, and it's on the website too. Were you on the website? Yeah, just go there. Go back to Jana, go back to 10. Yeah, which is curious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you read, it's the unresponsive guides.
Well, 10 is not. 10 is the end of the responsive guides, and 11 is the beginning of the unresponsive guides.
No, then I'm thinking of something else.
Okay.
What did I say in the email? Go back to the website. There, just go on the one that says 49. On it. Yeah, ABD, chat, and then I know. We're just trying to figure out where I am. We'll just take a quick minute.
10 or 11, David?
Yeah, we said 10 or 11.
Just go way at the bottom, all the way to the bottom. What do I say? I say go back to 12 and 13.
That sounds better.
Okay, 12 and 13.
Thank you.
And so first of all, put your bookmarks there. But we're going to go ahead and read 28. And then I have a question for all of us on 28. And Ivan, do you want to read us through 20? Maybe each of you could take a paragraph.
In the 28th chamber.
Each of Ivan.
Yeah.
Each of Ivan.
No, each of Ivan. He's trying to find himself. Himself.
Mm. 28th chamber. If I'm still in the process of degenerative rebirth, I've obviously allowed myself to become confused with all the shadow show going on around and overwhelmed. If I give up now and fall asleep, I'll be carried downward, out of any chance of liberation in a macro-dimensional domain. But beyond this point, I won't be able to attain spontaneous liberation just by pure recognition, because chose to help these two buffers have the same power to liberate.
If I can't handle it here, I'll just remember the beloved's form and visage as that of a pleasant and safe being who wants to help me get free of this. I'll tell my real name and thus be liberated. Now, I'm going to be tossed around between states of joy and sadness, alternating in each moment. I won't get caught by trying to resist with aggression, and I won't give in to blissful sleep through passion. It's the reading of the 28th chamber.
Okay, so just hold that in your mind for a second. Now let's flip back to the other one.
12.
Okay, here we go, 12. So turn in your hymnals to 12, wherever that is, 11, and then there it is, 12. 12th chamber. If I allow my feelings of fear to give way to panic, then the visions of the unresponsive guides are certain to appear again. I must try to recognize the forms I see before me as embodiments of my own deep consciousness. I remember the teaching. It's all right to feel fear, but not to panic. This vision I see before me is just another projection from my deepest consciousness. At this macro-dimensional level of the labyrinth, I am the only one. There is no other. With the dawning and acceptance of this all-dissolving truth comes instantaneous liberation. I read those two together.
Yeah.
I got on this a few days ago, and I started bouncing back between the two of them, and there's a tremendous similarity. It's like the Voyager is dealing with the same things over and over again, but in different contexts. When you read 12 and 13, you almost can feel that there's someone there to help. That there's someone there to help you, right? There's these unresponsive guides, but
you feel them.
But you can feel them there. And so when I read 28, I didn't feel that.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that the Voyager now is getting to a place where they're more on their own. They're by themselves, in a sense, hurtled back to the same problems, though.
Yes. Recycling through.
Recycling through.
Well,
right?
Because I'm just looking at the labyrinth reading schedule, because I always love numbers, and if we're doing 12 and 13, well, what is 28 to 12 and 13? Well, which day is it? Well, it says day and cycle. It's a cycle. We are recycling through. The voyage shows the same information over and over again. It just appears differently. And, as David says, the unresponsive guides are named
right.
As unresponsive guides in the second stage. In the third stage, it doesn't name the guides at all. It says, excuse my language here, but formation of consciousness.
So,
so there's no...
There's a question. When
okay, go ahead, Harry.
Rocky has a question, and by the way, he's not doing well and had asked for prayers, and there must be dozens of responses on the wall.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Harry.
He asked, what does it mean, I'll tell my real name?
We're going to hold off on that, okay?
Yeah.
we are going to address that, Grocki, but we're going to wait just a minute for that, okay? We're building up to it, in a sense.
You are wonderfully scripting us for making sure we hit the right climax point. So just observe the drama.
So I was reading through the darn thing, this chapter 28 here, and I got to it and I thought, okay, well, what's happening to this poor guy, right? 28.
Yeah.
And 28. And it says, I'm still in the process of degenerative rebirth, right?
Yes, it does.
So it's in this process. So it's the reading. Don't forget, the reading is an instruction to the voyager. We are that voyager. And so there's an instruction coming through to tell us, what's the address that you're at? Here's the address that I'm at. And then it says, if I allow myself to become confused, I'm in this shadow show again. I'm confused by this shadow show, buffeted about. I'll be carried downward out of any chance of liberation. Now, earlier it's spontaneous liberation if you realized where you were.
Yeah, by recognition alone, you can be spontaneously liberated.
That's right. Because the intensity field is quite, let's just say that it's geared way up.
Yes.
And now there's a different process occurring. But beyond this point, I won't be able to attain spontaneous liberation.
That's right. Just by pure recognition.
So what does that say where we are? This is a recognition point, not a judgment point. So we recognize that we're at this point called, I'm still in the process of degenerative rebirth. So I'm heading toward rebirth, right? Am I right? Am I reading this right?
I'm in the process of degenerative rebirth, which says two things. One, it's an ongoing process and you are still in it, so you were in it before and you're still continuing to be in it, so that hasn't changed. You haven't moved off the path that you were on towards rebirth, and degenerative rebirth implies less. You are not generating, you are not regenerating, you are degenerating. So it has less energy, less potency, less capacity. We don't know what.
We don't know
but
yet.
But it says
right.
Process of degenerative rebirth.
Okay.
Pat, it's not helpless yet. Is that correct?
It doesn't say helpless.
It does not say helpless. It's an address, Harry. We have to start looking at things like this is a macro-dimensional address. By address, I mean it's a... you're locating yourself.
Yeah.
You go, where am I? Oh, I see where I am now. Because as soon as you can see where you are, and this is a blessed thing to know where you're at, because as soon as you can know where you're at, you might be able to operate appropriately in that space. Make sense?
Absolutely.
There's so much data here about how the states of the journey through the labyrinth occur, which is they occur as the resonating factor of your being. That's what is being presented here. It's your beingness being presented to you in whatever form you can realize it, whatever will be realized by you. That's the description. So when David's using the word address, we're talking about a postal address of a specific chamber. We're actually talking about what is your internal environment as you currently are, as this occurs to you, as you currently are. This address is where you are.
So let's flip this.
Very
let's,
strange wording.
Let's flip it into... what's going on right now? whatever your internal state is, that is the address that you have arrived at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've arrived at that address right now, tonight, at this time. Recognize the address, because then it'll begin to tell you and give you a hint as to something that you can do. A very important point, at least it was very important to me as I read through this, that it's an address. It's delineating where I am. And once I know where I am, I can then get out my survival guide and my compass and my canteen, and I know a little bit about maybe something what to do.
When you become oriented, then you have the opportunity for safe travel, perhaps?
It may not be safe. We don't know about that, but
it
may be more directed travel rather than chaotic travel. And I think that distinction is reveals to us in the next paragraph as we continue to read the darn thing.
Yeah, that's just where I went, if I can't handle it here.
Right. Okay. If I can't handle it here in this buffeted state and stuff is going on right now, and it says, if I cannot, where is that?
Beginning of the second paragraph.
Oh, yeah. If I can't handle it here, then this is the thing. If I can't handle it here, oh, here's the answer. It's really simple. I'll just, the author uses this word, I'll just remember the beloved's form and visage. Okay, good. Now we know what to do. Exactly, right? So this is where I told Molly Midway earlier that I was going to put her on the spot and you as well. So how does someone go about doing that?
Is Molly up first?
She's declining at the moment.
I'll just remember. Me implies the practice remembering. I remember myself as I invoke the presence of my presence into the present as my remembrance, as I pull all of my scattered attentions into this moment. Where am I? Where would the beloved be except here? So I'll just remember, and now it gets to the tricky part, the beloved's form and visage. If you haven't practiced your whatever methodology you're using for invoking the presence of the beloved, what form and visage do you have to draw on? So to me, this implies a practice. It implies a continued practice to build the habit of, just remember, yes, as that of a pleasant, and this is where I came with the safe.
Yeah, I can see where you're going with that.
But
here's the other, I obviously approach a lot of this stuff with there is a key, there is a way,
mm-hmm.
and I want to give us all these tools that I believe are really there. So this author sits down, he writes this down thing, he goes, just remember. Well, what does that imply?
That it's known.
It implies that we know it.
Yes.
And I just need to remember it. I was sitting in a particular event. I don't think you we're there at that moment. And I just remember, in fact, I know I'm 90% certain we're not there. And I hesitate to share it, but I just, it was like, so I reached out and grabbed DJ's, he grabbed my hand, I grabbed his hand,
yeah.
And it, let's just say that he demonstrated.
I was there.
The memory mm-hmm. of a particular thing, which is not important, but so if you know that it's there, how do you practice in this lifetime to be ready for transit?
Mm-hmm.
People are raising their hands. We've got a winner.
Hand the woman the phone.
And
hand
the
woman
the
phone.
Right behind you, like
you.
Just anxious.
Well, I
just talk. Don't do anything.
Don't
do with the phone.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is my practice. It's kind of a simple one, but I work a lot with dreaming, and when I, and I've done this over many years, when I become lucid in my dream, I make a practice of going to find EJ. And that, you know, it's never always in the same place, but for me, you know, the dream time is a Bardo space, and, you know, it seems like I can work to develop that skill when I don't really have a mind or a body. So that's been my practice.
Thank you.
Tamara. Were you going to read comments, Dan?
Before he reads comments, one additional to what you said about the use of the dream time. Any formulation, that's what I was saying before about a modality, any formulation of your efforts towards recognition of the beloved in all practices, Sufism, Christianity, every, quote, religious formulation that there is, has this as part of its deepest history, which is, how do you encounter, quote, the divine? That's what we're asking for.
Well, how do you encounter the divine? The first half of the book has a whole litany about it. Okay, there's a whole practice about it. And then we're over here at 28 now and says, well, you didn't do that. You didn't do that. But guess what? You're not out of luck. You still got some stuff. Here's what you got to do. Just remember. Now, that's going to wind up tying into Grocky's question, but we're not still not going to quite go there quite yet.
Did you have a point?
David, there are a couple of other questions.
All right, go for it.
Simon asks, could it be, when we're speaking of the visage of the beloved, said, could it be her face, in quotes, it doesn't have to really have a gender? And he had earlier asked, I really wonder what would be his face. So that means to remember ourselves as we do every day. Is that so?
Well, you may or may not know how to do maybe this will be easier. You may or may not know how to juggle.
Right.
And you start working with two balls, throwing back and forth, and then you put in the third one in there, and suddenly you know how to do it. This will take a while. It takes practice. So for you, individually, Simon Templar. That's how he showed up, this person from some place. And you show up, and you just would say, you press your intention against it. You press your intention against this face of the beloved. Because this voyage is a voyage that each person individually makes. And you press your good intention, your right effort, against that. And at some point, little parts of it start to reveal to you. Go ahead, Harry.
That's pretty much it, David. I don't see any other comments. And I hope I haven't done anyone a disservice here of listening to you.
That's a question, a broader question than we're going to be able to answer, Harry, whether you've done anybody disservice, okay? We'll work on that.
I think I've got it all.
Okay, good.
When we go to the second half of this sentence, the first half says, if I can't handle it here, I'll just remember the beloved's form and visage. When we go to the second half of this sentence, it says, as that of a pleasant and safe being who wants to help me get free of this, undefined, what is the this, and what would being free of it mean, will reflect into how you see a pleasant and safe being. Again, it is individual. But there is a reference. And the reference is handling. And for me, I'm a strict literary type person. The word handle, to me, implies in a certain way tactileness. Like I can actually grasp what here is. And again, we're back to practices, which is, you know, present in this moment or whatever formulation you have. If I can't handle it here,
mm-hmm.
Handle it here. So you get yourself in now and then.
It has a handle.
It's got something you've actually grasped. You're with it. You have got it on, you know.
Very good.
Holding it.
Very, very, very useful.
So that is how you would understand what the visage of a pleasant and safe being would be for you. Because it is the one that gets you free of the this. And I don't think we're going to go into the three of the this part. Are we?
David, Laura, 34, asks, is the beloved the absolute?
You notice how we cannot speak to that?
How do you answer that?
For me, the other part of that, Pat, was an earlier sentence where it says, if I give up now. You know, somehow that sort of jumped out. That,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that,
that, that.
Yeah, and that second, that then that second part is, okay, there's a way I can handle it. There is something that's being offered, and here's the technique.
Yeah.
So it's a very
but the voice
powerful.
Might also be able to handle it.
I think it's implying that it's possible to handle.
That's right.
and that the handling is something that can be approached, that it's not out of our reach. It's possible to be there with it. It can be handled.
So it's, but if I can't, there's like, there's plan B, plan, there's plan after plan after
yes.
plan. We just have to remember that they're plan after plan. But if I go to sleep.
Yes. If I give up and fall asleep.
So if I give up, that's like a giant signpost there. Give up. Do I give up or do I develop strategy? Do I give up or develop strategy? And that's where we are. That's where we're at here. That's, these are the tools that we bring to this incredible event.
And again, I'm taking the I'll just remember as a common occurrence. The just implies casualness. I'll just remember, like it's a normal thing. I'll just remember the beloved's form and visage.
You know, there's a great line. This is years and years and years before it got made into a movie, but when I was reading Tolkien's works and the Two Towers in particular, where Frodo and Sam Gamgee are led to this stairwell, the back stairwell by Gollum into Mordor, and they take him through the grotto of Shelob, one of the great characters in all of literature. Yeah, you bet. It's Shelob. And they're failing. They're going to get eaten alive. And then what happens? Does anybody remember? No? Well, that's there. But he just remembers the vial that Galadriel gave him.
Oh, yes.
The light as bright as the sun.
Yes.
And he just remembered it.
Yes.
Now, so bouncing off of Dr. Pat here, our linguist, and she says just remembered implies a certain casual. How do we just remember? We're prepared. We prepare by practice. Great skill develops confidence. Great skill comes from great practice and great discipline. I met with somebody early this morning in a business, and this is someone that is not involved in this work at all, and she had a particular thing in her business. It's going to be an incredible business anyway. And she said, so, you know, wasn't sure what to do, so I decided that I'm just going to do this particular habit. It was actually three. Every single day for 100 days. And I said, that's pretty hard. She says, yeah, it's hard. But I'm just going to do it every day. That's the discipline. She injects that into her mechanicality of the machine, and she'll explode upward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll enliven every bit of it.
And she's dealing with about 20 people in her business, and
wonderful.
They will just go, bing. And it's just almost an innocuous set of disciplines, but it's practice. So, you know, if you're a Christian monk, you have, what is it? Is it seven times during the day, the Book of Hours, the Matins?
It's at least six, I don't remember.
And so on and so forth. And that, every day you stop, that's what you do. So that becomes a superior practice. Just like for me, at 10 p.m. tonight, I'm going to read my book for 10 minutes because I know I am. Okay. So how do you then just remember the beloved? It's in your hip pocket all along. And then suddenly the force of the event, here it is, the force of the event that you're involved in reminds you of the tools before you.
It draws it out of you.
It draws it out of you. Where is it in the, I wish George was on, but he's not. In HBM, where he says that transformation is the response to this. So,
yeah.
And so if we have these tools and we practice with these tools, when we are forced into a situation, that's how we're going to respond. Transformation by reflex. Thank you, Ivan.
It's because you're being held underwater.
In essence, you're being held underwater, and then you remember. Then you just remember. You just remember.
David, may I share a comment?
Yes, please Harry. Thank you.
Vidad Flowers writes, like luck, quote, journey favors the prepared voyager. A good example, habits carry you through.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
I'm gonna share once again. I just can't resist myself here.
We can't resist you either.
This group that I attended the workshop at this last weekend is an organization called Tayu House. They are a meditation
based. And that's where it was held?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
Lovely.
Meditation center. And a number of years ago, I've spent several years traveling down to that area and taken a singing training with a singing specialist from Finland. And I always visit their books and teas store. And I was there about 2 years ago, and I walked in, and the woman behind the counter said, "Oh, you must be here for Stuart." Okay, what's that? Oh, well, you know, Stuart almost died in Italy and they barely got him home, and like he's, you know, needing the death teaching. I go, okay, tell them I'm here, because I couldn't imagine any other reason that I had walked in the door that day. But that habit was known by someone enough there that they recognized me, and I hadn't met this woman before behind the counter, that she recognized me and went, oh, you're the person we need. So there's an embodiment here. Also, I want to just touch on this. The embodiment, the beloved's form and visage is not the beloved. It's the form and visage. So there's an embodiment that you are enhancing in your practice so that it is familiar to you. It is one that you will recognize. It is not one that is foreign or unknown. That, again, is why this is called the American Book of the Dead. It is not, you know, the Himalayan Book of the Dead. Much as we would like to elevate ourselves in every way that we can, it is what do we have in our already existing consciousness and formulation. That's what we're working with. What we already have, where we already are, who we already are. That's this. And I just want to emphasize, it says the beloved's form and visage. It's not something unusual.
Hey, everybody's probably sitting here asking themselves, well, how do I respond when I get into these situations?
Yeah.
I could see that was on the tip of your tongue. And so I went ahead and verbalized it for you. And so this is where self-reflection comes in. And if you read through this chamber carefully, and you really do read through it, you can see, well, how did I respond last time? Did I What is it called? Fall asleep, not fall asleep. Or did I?
No, I'll give up and fall asleep.
Did I give up and fall asleep?
Yeah.
The last time when it got chaotic, is that what I did? Or did I, if I can't handle it here, did you understand that you couldn't handle it there? I just remembered the face of the Beloved. How'd you do? How did you do last time? Look back, you can see, because what's happening is the world is giving you examples over and over again and saying, hey, you know, you wake up in that situation, you always do that. And all you need to do is not forget and fall asleep and go into the six hell worlds,
mm-hmm.
but I recognize I can't handle it, therefore I just remember.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how you doing. It's going to be stuff like, where do you protect yourself immensely? Because when if you sit and you find a place and you just protect yourself all the time when you go there,
yeah.
guess what? You may win in the world, but when you're in this space,
mm-hmm.
that's not available
to
you.
The transit chamber will strip that away from you. First thing, out the door, gone.
Remember good old Yama, a couple of chambers ago? He comes along and eats your liver out.
Now, one of those things that you're talking about having to be able to do is tell your real name.
Oh, boy, this one really bothers me. What's the answer, Jen? You'll notice that when you get into the ashram or you're online, like, for instance, there's a guy on tonight, happens to live in Toronto, Canada, and he has a street name, which I happen to know. But then he signs on and he says, Simon Templar.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this other guy from down in Austin, Texas. I know his name too, but he signs on and he goes, Pianjo.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
In that space, that's the name of that person. That person isn't. In this space here, it's Pianjo. It's not that other name.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several people who have multiple names, and, you know, bless them too. But they may have the same name in multiple bodies too. So
yes, you have some, don't you?
A quick one. Rocky says, we're here. Must have done something right.
Yeah, we're here. We must have done something right. Because in his heart of hearts, he knows that this work is a practice for him in working toward being facile in these chambers. That's what we're looking for, right? To develop these tools so that when we're in there, either we just pull them out of our back pocket. I got one in my back pocket right now. Wait a minute. I do.
Oh, you do indeed.
I had it here all along. See?
And now you remember that you have it.
And now I remember I have it. And I look at it, and there indeed is that face. But that's what works for me. So what if, perchance, Grocky, that Pat and I and Ivan met before this meeting and we said, you know what? We know his real name. Why don't we just tell him?
It would serve no purpose.
It would serve no purpose. So we practice the practice of our real name, and when we go into these chambers, what's your name? Some people, they go into the chamber and it's antimatter, or it's Lost Horizon, or it's Betty Zahn, or Molly Midway.
What's that? You're hitting the 72 hour?
Yeah, we'll get you back. You got 10 more minutes.
It's an aspect of my nature to associate one thing with another. So here I go once again. Naming is the priority of Eve. She named each thing, each creation in the garden. As it was made, as she came across it, she named it. The naming of something gives you, one, recognition of it by an external, symbolic, a distant thing, you know. You and I aren't the same. You are you and I am I. So there's a separation. Naming is a separation.
Mm-hmm.
It's also
good point.
A statement of control. I name that. I recognize that I have access to that, the calling of it, the naming of it. So there's other parts about this. I'll tell my real name. That is what it is that I am, the naming of I. There's another relationship to one's quote self that is being asked for in order to be liberated. There's a whole other section to this, but I just wanted to point in that direction for folks to investigate a little bit, because it is in the middle of that paragraph, and you know how I am about these things. If I can't handle it here, and then the middle of the paragraph says, I'll tell my real name and be liberated, and the end of the paragraph says, I won't give in to blissful sleep through passion. So for me, there's a balance in the way the paragraph is shaping our understanding of what is this chamber and the voyager's access to his opportunity. Is an opportunity. I'll tell my real name. It's not a challenge. It's an opportunity. You have to know that, too. You have to recognize that also. Just needed to put that in there. Did that take you off track?
Not at all. No. Very much. Very bang on. It's a difficult time in these particular chambers, because as we're heading toward rebirth, it's like we want to be, I want to be reborn again real quick. It's so cool. I remember that. And you start to envision your parents and what they're going to be like, and you start to head your way toward that. But it's dangerous ground to allow yourself to be drawn into that in unconsciousness. What we work with here is conscious decision. This is a strategy.
Make a good plan.
Make a good plan. Make a good strategy. And the author is telling us over and over again, you need tools? Here's a tool. Wait, here's another one. Here's yet another one. There are going to be tools that work specifically for you. What else you got?
Well, does that help, Rocky? Yes, Todd. What is telling my real name?
That, Rocky was away for a while, but came back and really appreciates the real name question being addressed.
Yeah.
And he says, thank you.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you. It's very, very important.
There's another question, if you're interested.
Just one second, please, Piancho. And that's, we are voyaging by ourselves. Okay. So you're on your own, too, with the tools that you have here.
Mm-hmm.
So when it says, tell my real name, you have that. You have that card.
Yeah.
You'll determine whether you use it at this point or not. And apparently, it actually is available to you at this time.
Yes.
Doesn't it? In that space, at that time, in that buffeted zone, oh, right. Bing. Go ahead, Pianjo.
It's Vidad Flowers. I had a dream a few weeks ago where there were a lot of people in a room, and they said, your name is, and then they told me a name. I wonder if I should make a point of remembering it.
You decide.
And
actually, a good point would be to wear it around a bit.
Test it out.
Test it out. Like hold it in your hand.
Go for a dry run.
Keep it in your back pocket. Pull it out from time to time.
That's a wonderful gift.
So it's a gift that you receive because of your skill set, of your particular skill set. You're able to draw that in through the dreaming in the dream world. You draw in the council. The council spoke to you. Now, let's just say from time to time you're given artifacts. And sometimes you're given an artifact. You need to start learning what to do with that. One thing not to do with it is to say, hey, look, I got this. Because then you've made it into something mundane. Hold it. You'll have the wisdom with which to work with that. Give yourself time. Allow yourself to just be with it. Okay?
Another thing you might do is to just ask the council to let you know how they would like you to use it.
Yeah, and they may or may not answer that question, by the
That's
way.
That's right.
They may or may not answer that. You may not have a luxury of an answer.
But you're always allowed the question.
You are definitely allowed a question. What else you got, Pianjo?
That's pretty much it, David. a few other comments that are worthwhile.
Yeah.
Rocky said he was away when a neighbor took me to get the water, but really appreciate the real name question being addressed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I am going to be tossed around between states of joy and sadness alternating in each moment. It's not a if I do or don't do something, or this will happen or won't happen because. It says, now I am going to be tossed around between states of joy and sadness alternating in each moment. This is a tricky sentence because it implies that there is a sense of time about this, each moment. But tossing between states, each state has its own sense of time or timing. And so when you get tossed around between states, you actually have not got the opportunity of having time because you're being tossed between states. It's a tricky sentence. It is a statement of something pretty heavy duty and also very, I hesitate to use this word, metaphysical in concept. It's,
it very much is. The sentence goes on to say, I won't be caught by attempting to resist with aggression. No. So it's like, oh, I'm not going to let this happen to me. Actually, the opposite. And I won't give in to blissful sleep through passion, which is like the opposite of that. So it's an in-between here. We are in what's called the in-between. It's called the bardo. And in that in-between, you navigate. And it reminds me of when in the earlier chambers, the first part where it says, you know, the cleansing radiation of this and the soft green light.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing, right? We're seeing a different type of similarity, but it's in a different context.
Yes, this is in an emotional language, and the other one was in a
macro-dimensional
language.
Yeah.
So, in this case, just again to remind people, it says, I won't get caught. I won't give in. This, to me, that language is implying voluntariness. So the tossed around between states of joy and sadness does not remove your capacity to choose. You still have choice here. I won't get caught. I won't give in. There's still choice.
Okay. So lot chock full of information, this particular chamber, and we should be carrying this with us throughout our day as we go through the day, and we can see, how am I doing with this? And am I using these various tools? Okay, are we there?
Oh, I'm waiting to hear word from my traveling buddy over here.
German travelers.
A German traveling buddy has returned.
So I think that's it for this evening, and we'll take it up again next week at the same time.
Please continue your readings to and from each other.
So it's very important.
So magnificent
very
when
fruitful.
You do that. It makes a huge difference for everybody.
Thank you for coming.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.